Hey, this is Eddie Green with Selling People Not a Process. How's everyone doing today? So excited. We have got a guest here that honestly, you know, he probably doesn't know it. I kind of talked to him a little bit about it last night, but he's going to eventually be my mentor, whether he likes it or not. This is Gil Lahamidou. He is from Florida. He is starting a brand new channel called Restoration Profit, and we're so excited. What this guy brings to the table is literally revolutionary, and you wouldn't think so. The restoration industry has been around for years and years and years and years, but the things that he's talking about and the things that he does and his core values that he brings to the table really are just unheard of, and it's a pleasure and an honor for me to be able to welcome him to my show. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Gil Lahamidou.
Thanks, Eddie. Thanks for having me on today.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. So you have extensive restoration background. Tell me why. Tell me what was it about restoration that caused you to get into it and kind of how it's tracked you to who you are today.
So I got into restoration back in the early 80s before there was much of an industry. Transitioned, pivoted my carpet cleaning company into restoration, providing extraction services early on.
Okay, fantastic. And so I know that the restoration industry has evolved, you know, or so they say. You know, it's like, oh, we can drive things faster. We can do things more efficient. There's, you know, all of these different techniques. It's like, oh, we're saving, you know, the wood floors. We're floating carpets, which, you know, in your opinion, in a discussion last night, which was kind of an archaic approach to be able to do that. You have seen restoration differently than anyone I've ever talked to. And I wanted you to kind of expand a little bit when you walk into a situation, the way you look at it versus what like a big box company looks at it like.
So we take the approach of what's good for the customer is good for us as a restoration company. And we really focus on the needs of the client, the needs of the structure. I've apparently spoke with you. You say I've coined the phrase of drawing the bones of the building. And what we look at is, you know, is the carpet restorable? Is the carpet is no longer under warranty, point blank. And so really what is good for the customer is positioning the customer by educating them on what they are entitled to per the terms and conditions of their insurance policy. The insured is entitled to a pre-loss condition. And speaking specifically on the carpet and the pad, that really hinders the drying process. We focus on the structure, the bones, the concrete, the subfloor, positioning ourselves that we're going in and documenting every day the theory or the myth of the three-day dry out. You know, that is something that was really imposed by the carriers through their program workers, and unfortunately it has now trickled into the industry itself.
Right. So whenever you talk about the myth of the three-day dry out, you know, I always tried to make sure that whenever I was going in and selling a restoration job that I told them, they asked me how long it was going to take me to dry them down. And I said, really, until the building's dry, you know, but working for a big box franchise company, I bought into a lot of those myths as well. And you know, what ends up happening is really is all kind of dependent upon the structure and what you're dealing with and what type of circumstances you're dealing with. There may be an instance that a portion of that building's dry in 2 days, but then there's another portion of the building that may not be dry in 7 or 8, you know. So whenever you're talking about taking those myths and dispelling those myths from the carriers to doing what's right for the customer,
right,
how did you decide, I'm going to take that stance and I'm going to do it what's right regardless of what people are going to say? And then you hit on something that is very important. It's kind of a two-part question. You hit on something that was very important, and that is educating the consumer, educating your customer as to what is right. So because in what you people don't know, and you will know as we expand his channel and get him out there, that he is not there for the carrier. He is there as an advocate for the consumer to the carrier to do things right. So tell me, where did that light bulb go off? And you say, you know, I'm not necessarily going to play by the rules here. You know, I'm going to do it right.
Right. So playing by the rules, or as you mentioned, just doing it right, you know, by simply hammer probing the structure, dry the bones of the building, penetrate through the drywall with the correct moisture meters, you quickly realize to find out that it takes time for that moisture to escape the structure into the interior. Essentially, as we're drying the air mass, moisture seeks dry. the sooner we start to dry the interior of the building, the moisture will escape. But it's about setting the culture of using the right equipment each and every time, starting with a dry standard from a non-affected area of the building. That is my target. By going back daily, monitoring, taking your photos, by presenting to the carrier, here is my dry standard, this was my affected area when I started, and this is the time lapse by how many days it took me to dry the bones of the building correctly.
Right. And, you know, the one thing about that I can honestly say in my years of doing restoration, the hammer probe has really kind of fallen by the wayside. And is that because it doesn't produce that mythological desired result to the carrier? So because I can walk up there with my Tramex and put it on there, and the surface of the surface and the drywall itself is going to be dry, but maybe the studs aren't. You know?
Well, exactly right. So when water hits the ground, it doesn't just conveniently travel around the sill plates. It goes under the sill plate from room to room. And, you know, as a professional restorer, I have a duty to be able to make sure that I'm turning that structure back over to the client at a dry standard. The whole fact of the matter of the carpeting, you know, again, we really are not very quick to evolve within this industry. Unfortunately, we have the carriers that keep demanding certain things, holding us accountable to their standards, which is save the carpet, float the carpet, leave the baseboards in place. The applied structural drying in my world, and I've gone behind many other contractors that utilize that method of drying, and quite frankly, they're missing the mark. They're not seeing, they're not approaching what is the drywall content, what is the sill plate content. And you have got to start by drying the building from the furthest point and dry yourself in.
Right. And you understand what he just did. Gil is a very humble individual. The more time I get to spend with him, I'm learning lessons in humility that all salespeople need to understand. But he just laid the gauntlet down to you restoration professionals, because there is, just like in my world where I say you can be a salesperson or you can be an ultra high performer, there's a difference between being a restoration professional and an elite restoration professional. And you know, in hearing and spending time with him, I would deem him in that elite category. In fact, I would be as far to go and say that he created that category by the way that he does work. But you heard, you know, he kind of laid the gauntlet down and said, look, I challenge you to go back to these buildings that you say are dry and check under the sill plate, you know, and see if you truly dried every aspect of that building before turning it back over. What are some of the ramifications of turning a wet building back over to the person?
Well, clearly you have a chance for microbial growth, odors, deterioration of the building materials, and of course diminished values on the property itself.
Right, right. So, you know, it's like I said, and we're going to get into this. We're hitting it at a very high level right now because we do want to keep, you know, the podcast to 10 minutes or less. And the thing about it is we could honestly spend probably 20 episodes just discussing that one small portion. But the one thing that I want you to understand, that as we launch this new channel for him, the Restoration Prophet, is that this is going to be a place to where you can come for real world truth education on how things need to be done. And, you know, we've talked about it privately that this is not for everyone. There are going to be those people that want to live and die by, say, for example, the program work and have to follow those rules, you know, that they're going to have to do. And, you know, so what message would you put out there to people that want to learn how to do it the right way?
Well, clearly you've got to be careful in who you're serving. It's either you're serving the client who is the policyholder. To me, in my world, that is my client. And in my world, I'm their preferred vendor, okay, as opposed to the big box restorer that's coming out that has their marching orders that was given the job. I, too, was a vendor worker, a program worker for many, many years. And I realized early on that I was doing things that that served the insurance company's best interest, not the homeowner's best interest. And I had a problem with that. I had a real problem with that. And I stepped away from that world. So the further I distanced myself from the carrier, the more comfortable I came in practicing my craft. As my doctor practices medicine, my attorney practices law, I practice restoration, and I believe that the industry is not evolving as quickly as it should be.
No, I agree. And you said you practice the one thing I wanted to come from your mouth. You practice what grade of of restoration.
I feel that I provide a medical grade restoration to my clients.
Yeah. And it, you know, we're going to talk more about that in the next episode, because we're going to do, you know, two or three, but this is primarily, you see the wisdom that is involved here with what he brings to the table. And it's one thing for someone to speak it. It's another thing that he, you know, I've watched his processes and I've looked them over, and this is something that he does. It's a trickle down effect. He holds all of his people accountable. And it's something that they practice on a regular basis. So this isn't just a bunch of hot air wisdom that's coming from Gil. It is a life. It is a life lesson and a lifestyle that he is actually doing. So we're going to cut this part of it short. We're just going to call this episode one with Gil Lahamidou. And like I said, I want to thank him for coming to Check One Studios here at Tier Level in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, to be able to spend some time with us. If you have any questions, please drop me an email at eddie@tierlevel.com. And that way I'll be able to get you in touch with Gil, because I can promise you he can literally change your entire life. And in restoration, that has always been my mantra. It's not about a paycheck. It's about changing lives. So if you guys have any questions, please drop me an email. I'll get you put in touch with him. And I want to thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk again soon.